Okay, this is our fourth and final week on Elijah. We couldn't do Elijah without doing this last miracle. I'm just going to run through the miracles that we've seen so far. The first miracle was that Elijah prophesied there would be no rain, and guess what? It didn't rain for 3.5 years. The second miracle was, of course, there was a drought in the land because there was no rain, and that led to a famine. But God sent ravens that brought meat to Elijah. So he was fed with meat by the ravens, and he drank at a brook, and that lasted for some time. And then when the brook dried up and the ravens stopped coming, God sent Elijah to a widow in a nearby town. So this widow and her son were going to die. They only had enough flour and oil to make one last meal of some kind of bread. And Elijah produced another miracle in their lives, and their flour and oil didn't run dry for the duration of the drought. Then the widow's son died, and Elijah brought him back to life, so that was miracle number four. Last week, we looked at miracle number five, where Elijah stood against 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. So it was 850-1. Last week, okay, it was not good odds, but there was another miracle, and the power of God fell and burnt up Elijah's sacrifice, but it did not, the false god could not produce any power to burn up their sacrifice. So this is all of that's taken place in the matter of the last 3.5 years. So it's been a bit of a rough time for Elijah, but also for the whole country. They've all been going through a drought and a famine. So we're going to pick the story up today where Elijah tells the wicked King Ahab that the drought will end and that there will be rain. But at the moment, there's no sign of rain, none at all. It's still, the ground is still bone dry, there's still nothing to eat and very little to drink. So it's in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41, and it says this: "And Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain.' So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel," which is the mountain, "and he looked," and he bowed himself down upon the earth. "And he said to his servant, 'Go up now and look toward the sea.' And he went up and looked, and he said, 'There's nothing.' And Elijah said to him, 'Go again 7 times. And at the 7th time, the servant said, 'A cloud as small as a man's hand is arising out of the sea.' And Elijah said, 'Go up and say to Ahab, hitch your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you.' And in a little while, the heavens were black with windswept clouds, and there was a great rain." I just love this story. I love the power in it, but I also love the faith in it, that Elijah does not give up, and that he keeps going even when he can see nothing on the horizon. So the famine was severe, and the people were desperate. They'd waited 3.5 years for the answer. And that's a long time to wait. So my first question today is, how long have you been waiting for the answer? How long have we been waiting? But I've got good news, because God's saying today, get ready. Rain's coming, and it's going to be a great rain. Whatever it is God's got for us. Verse 41 said, there was the sound of rain. Rain hadn't started yet. Elijah couldn't hear anything in the physical. He wasn't under the tin roof. You know, when you're in a caravan or you're under a tin roof and it starts to rain and you can hear that sound on the roof, it's wonderful. You get that a lot in Australia, because a lot of houses in Australia can still have a tin roof on them. They even build modern houses with a tin roof. So you get the sound of rain. And when Neil first came over to Scotland, we're sitting in my mum's living room, and of course it was raining. It was pelting down. But Neil said, "What's that noise?" I said, "It's the rain." He said, "But where's it coming from?" I said, "It's hitting the window." See, in Australia, the rain goes straight down, but in Scotland, it comes in sideways. He'd never heard rain hitting the window before, because that doesn't happen in Australia. You know, it comes straight down on your tin roof, and you can hear it's raining. So Elijah couldn't actually physically hear it was raining. It wasn't coming down on his tin roof. It wasn't coming sideways on his window like we get over here. But on the inside, in faith, Elijah could hear it was raining. God had given them this vision in his heart on the inside. And on the inside, Elijah was saying to himself, I believe it's raining. I believe it's raining. And he could hear it in his faith, in his ears, of his heart. He could hear it in faith. So what are we saying on the inside while we're waiting for our drought to end, however many decades that has been? Are we saying, I believe God can, I believe God can? Or are we saying, well, maybe God can, but he won't do it for me? Or I'm not sure he can, and I'm not sure that he's going to do it for me. If that's the case, then we're believing a lie. And we're speaking a lie, and then the only thing we can receive from all of that, guess what, is a lie. Because that's all we can receive if that's all we're speaking. So every so often in our lives, maybe once a week, maybe even once a day, maybe even once an hour, we need to do a mind check. We need to say to ourselves, what thoughts am I believing? What am I hearing in the spirit realm? Am I hearing that God won't do this for me? Or am I hearing that even though it's tough right now, God's still on the case? He's still my rock of Gibraltar that I can stand on, and nothing is going to move him. You know, what is it that we are saying on the inside? Every so often, if you get up in the morning and things are good, but by lunchtime it's looking a bit shaky, do a mind check. Think, well, what is actually crossing my mind? What is it I'm listening to? Because the enemy puts a record on, it's like it's stuck in the groove. You know, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. This will never change, it will never change. And the record goes round and round. So are our thoughts from God, do they line up with the word of God, or are we believing something that the enemy is whispering to us? Elijah believed what God said, and we need to do the same. We need to have the same spirit as Elijah had if we want to see the same results. Now, not only did he believe what God said, he began to act on it before he saw it. You know, we say, if I see it, then I believe it. But faith says, if we believe it, then we'll see it. And God's a spirit, and he moves in the spirit realm first, before things start to change in our physical lives. And we must believe that something exists before we see it. You know, the kingdom of God is like buried treasure. We must believe we already have it. We must believe that treasure chest is in our garden. It's underneath our front lawn. And all we need to do is keep digging in the things of God until we find it. And then thank God for it before we find it, because we believe it's there. We believe the answer's there. You know, there's Wi-Fi and radio and TV signals flying all around this room, bouncing off the walls. We can't see them, but it doesn't mean they're not there. We need to believe they're there for all of our equipment to work and our phones to work. You know, you could turn around and you could say to me, I can't see gravity, Sandra. Well, I can prove to you it exists. Just go up on the roof and I'll push you off, you know, and you'll come into agreement real quick. Just because we can't see something in God does not mean it doesn't exist. You know, electricity has always existed. We can't necessarily see the electricity in this room, but it's there. And they could have had electricity in the pyramids at Giza, and they're 5,000 years old. And Pharaoh could have had electricity, but they didn't know it was there. But it was still there. It didn't just magically appear when someone discovered it. It's always been there. God created it. Look at the first thing Elijah did in order to see his prayers answered. Verse 42 says, he bowed down. That's the first thing Elijah did. He just went and he bowed down because he had an attitude of worship. And it's powerful to start thanking God for the answer before we see it, because we absolutely believe we are going to see it. We're not in any doubt that we're going to see it. In fact, if we're not thankful, we may not see it. That's how powerful praise is. So I've got a prophetic word for us today, and it's this. Worship God in the dry times, then rain will come and end your drought. Elijah had to start worshiping God in the drought, in the dry time, before the rain came. He had to believe it was on its way. And God's promised a downpour for us if we believe him and thank him for it now. Whatever it is your need is, begin to thank God that he's heard your prayer. The second thing Elijah did was he bowed down in an attitude of anticipation. He wasn't bowed down going, oh, I really hope this works. I really hope this works. I'm not sure it will. He had an anticipation that God was going to show up. He wasn't there begging and pleading. He wasn't hungry, homeless. He didn't have a sign, a dog, or a blanket. Okay, he was there before God, knowing that God was hearing, knowing that God was going to do something. He didn't once say, oh God, I beg you to do this, or I'm going to look really silly. He knew that God was answering. He knew in his heart, he could hear that God was answering, even though he couldn't see it yet. So he tells his servant to go and look for the answer, and don't stop looking. Because I believe with all my heart that God is going to answer my prayer, even if we can't see it yet. So Elijah was expecting God to move and expecting to see his needs met. So here's my second question for us today. What are we expecting? When we pray and when we bring our need to God, what are we really expecting? Are we expecting disappointment? Are we expecting failure? A closed door and silence from God. What are we expecting? Because it needs to be so much more than that. We're God's children. We don't need to beg. We need to expect God. Expect him to do what he's promised he'll do. So Elijah told the servant, I want you to keep looking. And he sends him back seven times and he will not give up. God's not let us down before, he's saying to his servant. And he's not going to let us down now. So you just keep going and keep looking. God's not in the business of letting his children down. We need to believe that because there's some situations that we're going through and it's so tempting to believe that God's not doing anything. So the servant looked and he said, I'm sorry, Elijah, there's nothing. He couldn't see a thing. Elijah, are you sure you've heard from God? Because nothing's changed. Circumstances and emails and texts and phone calls and whatever else can scream at us that nothing has changed. And six times the servant came back with a bad report. You know what happened to the children of Israel, to the 10 spies when they listened to a bad report? God couldn't give them the good things in the land. So he goes the first time. You know, we can look at our circumstances and we can pray the first time and there's no change. And we can pray the second time and there's no change. And we can pray the third time and there's no change. And we can get the blood tests and there's no change. And we can get the scan result and there's no change. And we can even see the specialist. And the specialist can say, Marion, I'm sorry, but there's no change. This is still going to take 2 years and it's never going to be fully healed. And we can get all of these negative reports, but the prophetic word that I have for us today is don't accept no change. Don't accept no change. Because no matter what age we are, how old we are, how young we are, whatever the circumstances are, God can change it. So don't accept no change. Elijah didn't. He refused to doubt God. You know, when we plant a seed, a lot happens in the dark before we see anything coming up in the light. Before we see that little shoot coming up, all of those roots have got to go down. But we don't doubt that we planted the seed. We know it's growing. And I've used this example before, but if the farmer came and planted seeds in the field opposite my house, and he put the seeds in on Monday, put those potatoes in on the Monday, and he came on the Tuesday and he dug them up, I'd be thinking he's lost the plot. That would be stupidity. Just to dig it up the next day. But we do it all the time in prayer. We plant the seed on Sunday when someone prays for us, and by Monday we're digging it up going, well, it didn't work. It didn't work. I'm still in pain, so it didn't work. So nothing's moved. Nothing's happening in the dark, Sandra. I can't hear the sound of anything. And we dig it up. And then we blame God. Somehow we blame God. But we gave him no seed to work with. Because we said out of our mouth, it's not working. So the servant was focused very much on the circumstances, on how things looked to him right there and then. Can I just encourage you, don't focus on the circumstances. Focus on the God who can change the circumstances. That's who we need to focus on. The servant said, nothing's changed. It's no use, Elijah. Just give up. But Elijah had a different perspective from the servant. And we need to have a different perspective as well when we're looking at our circumstances. His eyes were fixed on the problem, but he needed to have his eyes fixed on the answer. So what are our eyes fixed on? Are they fixed on the no change? Are they fixed on the negative report? Or are they fixed on our God? Okay, verse 44 says, this is the seventh time. Oh, get excited, because this is the seventh time that he sends his servant up. And the servant goes, hold on, I'm getting something. It's changing. I see a small cloud, but it's just the size of a man's hand on the horizon, Elijah. It's really, really small. Could I just say this to us? Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise it when things are small, because the answer can be one step away. So on the basis of this absolutely minute cloud on the horizon, Elijah said to King Ahab, prepare your chariot, Ahab, and get out of here, or the rain is going to stop you, because it's on its way. There's so much of God's power going to come, and it's going to stop you moving if you don't go now. So here's my next question. What are we preparing for? Ahab had to prepare to get out of the way of this rain. Elijah said, prepare yourself, Ahab, get out of here. What are we preparing for? Are we really expecting God to answer? If the answer's on its way, we need to start preparing. We need to start thanking him for it, at the very, very least. That's one thing we can do in preparation. We need to sometimes change our attitude as well, and the words that come out of our mouth. That would be a good start in preparation for seeing the answer. So Elijah expected an answer. He believed God, that there was a great rain. There was a deluge of God's power, and it completely soaked them. You know, doubt could have made Elijah give up, but persistence was the key to victory. Marion's been persistent in believing for healing for that broken arm. Praise was the key to victory. Believing God was the key to victory. All of these things, praising him, believing him, and being persistent like Elijah was, sending the servant back time and time again, saying, I am going to see the answer to this prayer. So this is the final part of the story, and Queen Jezebel comes into the act now, Ahab's lovely wife. So Queen Jezebel finds out that Elijah has just killed the prophets of Baal, and she now wants to kill Elijah. And Elijah is pretty tired, you know, after the whole competition, 850 against one, and killing all the prophets of Baal and everything. So Elijah flees for his life before this one woman. He stood up against 850. Now one woman comes along and he legs it, you know. And he goes 80 miles outside of Jezebel's realm. So he goes to the end of her territory and he goes 80 miles further on, and then one day's journey on top of that by himself into the wilderness. This is what it says in 1 Kings 19 and verse 4 about Elijah. It says he sat down under a lone broom tree and asked that he might die. He said, it is enough now. O Lord, take away my life. So Elijah's exhausted. He's fearful. He's discouraged. That leads to depression and negative thoughts. He's just had the greatest victory of his life as far as a public miracle goes, you know. But fear caused him to lose perspective. He's in fear of this woman and he loses perspective. Folks, don't lose perspective. Don't get things out of proportion. The enemy loves to get things out of proportion. He loves to always and never lie. Things will always be bad. They'll never get better. It will always be a bad report. It will never be a good report. He wants us in those two extremes. Also, don't do what Elijah did and make big decisions when you're absolutely tired. Just go to bed and sleep for a while. Go and sleep on it. Don't make the decision when we're absolutely exhausted. Elijah was isolated. He was alone in the situation, in the wilderness, all by himself. He was in the worst possible company, his own. There was just him and his negative thoughts going round and round. You know, listening to his own thoughts meant self-pity had the chance to creep in. But a problem shared is a problem halved. And sometimes we need to share what we're going through. There's a time to be quiet and there's a time to speak up and get someone else's perspective on what's happening. And he says to God, he says, take my life, Lord. I've had enough. Enough is enough. Anybody else there? Anybody else saying, enough's enough, this has just been a doozy of a week? If you've been there or you're thinking about going there, well, don't. Don't, because it's a lie from the enemy. God can change that situation. Family situations, work situations, he can change it. And finally, Elijah hides in a cave, but God's there too. So whatever it is you're going to hide, you know, God knows. He knows exactly which cave we all crawled out of this morning. So this is the final part of the story, 1 Kings 19, verse 11. And God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of gentle stillness and a still, small voice. And when Elijah heard the voice, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? In other words, why are you in a cave? Elijah had run away. He'd run away from Jezebel, from this one woman. He shouldn't have. He shouldn't have run away. He left where God had planted him. God had put him in that kingdom with Ahab. He saved the widow's life. He saved the son's life. He brought rain back. He saved the whole nation now. He saved the entire nation of Israel by bringing rain back to their country. He was where he should have been, and fear made him run away. He didn't stay where God planted him. And that is part of this, that physically he shouldn't have been in that cave. He shouldn't have been 81 miles away from where God planted him. He should have stayed where God put him. But it was more than that. God was saying, what are you doing in this emotional cave of depression and suicide? What are you doing in the spiritual cave? Because Elijah was in a cave filled with negative emotions. He was in a cave of depression, self-pity, fear, you name it. They were all there in this cave, and they're all caves that any one of us can crawl into at any time. So are we in an emotional cave? Are we trapped in our emotions? Because staying in an emotional cave means we'll miss all that God has for us. We'll miss the still small voice. We'll miss being planted in the right place. And I want us to note this before we close today, that God wasn't in the earthquake, he wasn't in the wind, and he wasn't in the fire. He was in the normal, everyday thing, the still, small voice. We don't need bolts of lightning. We don't need big aurora borealises in the sky. Who looked for it last night? It never showed up over our neck of the woods. We had a good look, but it never showed up. The aurora was on holiday last night, as far as Fife was concerned. And he wasn't in all of these big flashy things. He wasn't in the visiting speaker. He wasn't in the conference. You know, he was there, right in front of Elijah. He's there, right in front of you. He's in your quiet time. Absolutely, we can get stuff from the conference. Absolutely, we can get things from the visiting speaker. But they only last one day, or 2 days, or 3 days. We've got 365 days in our year. And we need to know that God's there in every single one of them, in the ordinary, everyday occurrences, when we read our Bible, when we sit down and have a wee cuppa and just talk to God, or we go for that walk and we pray in tongues. He's there in the everyday stuff. We can find God at the entrance to our lives, the same as Elijah found him at the entrance to this cave. It's in the Word. It's in our quiet times. It's in listening for his voice, because he is here. God wants to send abundant rain on our lives. He wants to end our drought and answer our prayers. So sometimes when all those emotions cave in, we need to pick ourselves up, put on your big girl pants and your big boy pants, and decide to come out that cave, dust ourselves off, and start thanking God for the blessings that he has got already to rain down in our lives. And if we listen hard enough, we'll hear the sound of rain. Okay, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you. Ask the worship team to come and lead us in our final song.